Praise to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our gathering together unto you. Blessed be thy glorious name, Lord. We thank you for your word. You enter to your word, Bible says it gives light. Bible says your word is a lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Lord, you have showed us because you have given the light of life, we shall never walk in darkness. We thank you for your word, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We all know that God is triune. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I say we all know God is triune, not Trinity. God is triune. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are just titles of the same personality. We are told in 1 John 5:7. They are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Of course, in John 10:30, we are told, I and my Father, we are one. Praise the Lord. And so all and all we can go, God is triune and so forth, And, he also made man to be a triune being. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want to talk about the triunity of man. The triunity of man. I want to begin from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, meaning it's alive. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. That's the body, right? Now, joints and marrow. You have the soul, you have the spirit. Then of the joints and marrow, that's the body, and there is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise the Lord Jesus. So man is triune. God made him that way and so on and that. So in the light of these scriptures, we have to think of ourselves not just as physical beings, but as spirit beings who possess his soul, and we live in a body. Amen. Praise the Lord. The real you, the spirit man, has his soul and he lives in a body. With his spirit, man deals with the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual realm, there is a physical realm. Praise the Lord. All that people can see is physical, right? But even the spiritual is even grander and greater than the physical. Praise the Lord. And that was people don't know. Anyway, so with his spirit, man deals with the spiritual realm. And this is a part of man that actually knows God, really, with his soul, man deals with the mental realm. And this is man's intellect now, the intellect, the sensibilities, the will. This is a part of, that reason, and they think that is so. Then with his body, man deals with the physical realm. And this is the house in which man lives. So his body is his house where he lives and so on. Even the Bible, I even allude to that somewhere down the road and so on. In 1 Corinthians 15:44, there is a natural body, Bible says, and there is a spiritual body. And here the natural body of God refers to the physical man or the physical body of man. Man's spiritual body is not some intangible substance. So we can see the physical body. You can't see the spiritual man, right? You can't see him. It's inside, right? I'm going to see that one. Nevertheless, man's spiritual body is not some intangible substance, but a body having a form and a shape, actually, which is controlled and regulated not by natural law, but by spiritual law, that God made and so on and that, In other words, both our natural and spiritual bodies are composed of matter. The only difference being that the matter of our natural body is adapted to this physical world, why the matter of our spiritual bodies is adapted to the spirit world. So, and the threefold, even God himself, the threefold nature of man was illustrated by the tabernacle of witness with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And God type man after that one, or the tabernacle after the threefold nature of man. Let's look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is what I'm talking about. It was a tent surrounded by a court. I'm going to be summarizing many scriptures here. I'm not even going to them, just kind of, just talking about them. Talking about the tent and so forth in the wilderness and so on. It was a tent surrounded by a court. And the court was enclosed by a curtain fence, if you want to call it that way. The tent was divided into two parts, one twice the length of the other by a way, a veil or a curtain. If you can imagine a veil or a curtain, and so if you can imagine what I'm talking about here, the tent, So the larger part of the, was entered from without, from the court, and the curtain, through a doorway and so on, and contain the table of showbread, and in it the altar of incense, and also the seven-branched candlestick, and that is called the holy place, call it the holy place. You have the court, then you have the holy place, then one more place. Then the smaller part was entered from the holy place through the veil, or curtain, dividing curtain, and so on. It contained the ark of the covenant, on the lid of which, between the cherubims, God took up his residence in the Shekinah glory. This part is called the most holy place. There were no windows in the tabernacle, and the only entrance was through the curtain doorway into the holy place. You can visualize it, The tabernacle and its courtyard is a type of the threefold nature of man, actually, So the courtyard represents the body of man, right, kind of. And the holy place is soul. And the most holy place is spirit. And as there could be no communication between the courtyard, which is the outermost thing, and the most holy place, the innermost thing, but through the soul, there can be no communication between a man's body and spirit unless passing through the soul also. So God kind of fashioned the tabernacle and so on, as a threefold nature of man and so on. We know when the tabernacle is completed, it was it remained empty, right? Until the presence of God, come down and descend upon it, and abode in the most holy place. So it is man also, it may look complete, having body, soul, and spirit, but his spiritual nature will remain empty, unregenerated, as you call it, unregenerated, until the Holy Spirit enters and takes possession of the spirit compartment of that human nature. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right. So God kind of types these things in nature, in the tent, in the tabernacle, and so forth, the threefold nature of man, and so on. Of course, God coming to the human spirit happens during the new birth, right? When we are born again. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about each of these departments of of man, the triune of man, the triunity of man. Number one, the spirit. So God made man for his own pleasure. We know that. In fact, he created all things for his own pleasure, right? And he made man to fellowship with him. That's what he created man for. Man is not an animal, as some people will think. No, not an animal. And in order to fellowship with God, man must be in the same class or category with God. It has to be. I can go and fellowship with a goat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or a cow, anything like that, So for man to go to fellowship, man has to be in the same category or class with God. And that is exactly, how God made man. Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. still can have fellowship with him, right? So we cannot know God or touch him physically. You cannot even know by that now. You can't touch him physically. You can't even see him. It's invisible, right? Praise the Lord. Really, you know. So we cannot touch or know God physically. God is not a man anyway. Bible says so. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, even this morning, through us, what you are looking for from the law. And shall he not do it? All the things he has promised you in the Bible. Amen. He will do them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, as he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So he's not a man. See? Anyway, but God is a spirit. God is not a spirit. God is a spirit. Amen. That was he told the woman of Samaria in John 4:24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. No wonder he created man as triune, so he has a spirit where you know, can commune with God, you know, with man and so on. So man's spirit is that part of man that knows God actually when he's born again. Praise the Lord. That is the part. We cannot communicate with God mentally, no, for he is a spirit. But we can reach him with our spirit when we are born again. And it is through our spirit that we come to know God. You know, people know all kind of things. They know that they know the automobile very well. They know maybe their house where they live in physically and so on. And man knows little of himself. Praise the Lord. They know anybody. That's why the Bible put these things out there. Praise the Lord. Why can't we talk about ourselves? Who we are according to the word of God, amen? And begin to get acquainted or even know more of who we are as God made us. Even though God is a spirit, yet took it upon himself, you know, a man's body, form of a man. Jesus, our Lord, was God manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Many scriptures say, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Philippians 2:6 says this, who, meaning Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Praise the Lord. See? And of course, John 1:3 says that, talking about the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, it's a spirit, but it's, he comes in the form. John 1:3 says, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And like Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now when God took care of himself human form, he was no less God than when he didn't have a body. Amen. He wasn't anything less. He was the same, you know. I say when he put on the human form, he was no less God than when, when he was before. Man, as physical death, for example, leave his body. Yet, I say to you, according to the scripture, he is no less man than he was when he had his body. Praise the Lord. That's right. I'm going to see that now. In the Bible said also. So we see this in the Lord's account of Lazarus and the rich man at death in Luke 16:19-31, which we all know the story, so I won't go and read that one. So I'm saying that, I mean, man is not less man than, at death than, when he has his body and so on. In that account of the rich man and Lazarus, what do we hear the Lord said here? The account is not a parable at all, not a parable, but a description by the Lord Jesus Christ of something that really happened in the other world. He declares that both Lazarus and the rich man died and they were buried. Summarizing that chapter right here. That is, their bodies were left on the earth. They were still in the grave. The body was still in the grave, right? That's right. on the earth. So what happened to them in the nation, in the underworld, then is what, or a description of what happened to them in that disembodied state, right? What, you know, was describing was what happened to these people, the rich man and Lazarus, in that disembodied state. A different kind of state, right? Their body is lying in the grave. So what the Lord is describing here is what happened to them in that disembodied state. In that state, this disembodied state, to tell you that the man is not any less than a man when he was alive here. So in that state, they were conscious. And the rich man recognized Lazarus. He could not have done it or done that if Lazarus has not a body. Kind of a body or spiritual body from the college and so on, right? That you can see. You cannot see a spirit and so on, that you know. In 1 Corinthians 15:44, we are told that there is a natural body, right? And there's also a spiritual body, praise the Lord. So we're taking them apart now, the spirit now, talking about the spirit of man and going through different directions with this by the word of the Lord and so on. There is a natural body, that's a spiritual body and so on like that. You know the Bible says. So what you can see, the rich man could see, he could feel. He could feel touch. He could talk. He could remember. He remembered Lazarus, proving that he possesses his senses and had not lost his personality at all. You see that what I mean by it's not just a man when he died than when he was alive here and so on. He had all these senses and so on, that, you know. So this proves that there is no break in the continuity of existence. Amen. There is no break in the continuity of existence or even consciousness in passing from the first life to the spirit life. So man is still conscious and so on like that, you know, in that form when he lives and when he dies and so on like that, you know. So though death strips man of his material body, it only changes man's environment but does not destroy the personality or No, of that person. Praise the Lord. Talking the human spirit now. We're going to talk about it, and then talk about the soul, talk about the body, and so on. When a man is born again, the spirit, which is the real man, according to the word of God, is born again. It is his spirit that is born again, right? And the old man is gone. You see? Gone. The old, hard, stony heart is gone. He is a new creation now, according to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is the spirit of man that is really reborn. Amen? You see how the same body you had before you were born again. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about taking them apart now. So this God, the man feel that he was born again and so on. We Christians have a new spirit now when we are born again and so on. For our spirits are born of God. Christianity is receiving, I always say, Christianity is not a religion at all. Don't even compare with any religion. Praise the Lord. Christianity is, receiving the gift of eternal life. And when eternal life, which is the nature and the very life of God, is imparted to your spirit, it changes you. This life of God coming into man's heart makes this inward man, the real man, a new man. Praise the Lord. Talking about the triunity of man, spirit, soul, and body, right? We are dealing with the spirit right now. We ought to know who we are, you know, and like I said before, and all that, you know, so people can really do better for the Lord and so on. The human spirit is referred to by many, many names in the Bible, actually, directly or indirectly, and let us see some of them. It's also referred to as the hidden man of the heart. Let's see that in the Bible and so on. I say the spirit of man is referred to by many, many other names in the Bible. One of them is the hidden man of the heart. And we can see, telling us not to merely to be concerned with outside adorning, we are told in 1 Peter 3, 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, right? I'm telling you that the spirit of man is referred to by many other names in the Bible. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That hidden man of the heart is the real man. It is not the outward man that we see, not the man of the flesh and bone. It is not the body, it is the inward man. Praise the Lord Jesus. Talking about the spirit of man right there. And even another scripture, it called the spirit the inward man. See? 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faith not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Talking about the spirit, the inward man. You call it the inward man, the spirit of man. The outward man, of course, is the physical body, and it grows older and decaying, just as the house you live in is decaying. You have to repair it and make repair to the house from time to time and some of that, you know. But the real you is not getting any older, amen? Praise the Lord. I say the real you not getting any older, because why? It is being, you know, the inward man, you know, it's renewed day by day, you see? So, that inward man, the real you, the real you, will never be any older than you are right now. Why? You are not older now than you were a few years ago. I'm talking your real man, I'm not talking your physical body, I'm talking about your spirit. You may know few more things, you learn things and so on, but in reality, you're not growing older in your spirit anyway, and you're being renewed day by day anyway, you know, by the word of the Lord. Well, your hair may become grayer, you know, and you may get a few more wrinkles here and there, but the real you will never become older. For the inward man is renewed day by day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 4:17, continue just to read it. What they say. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this morning, you may be going through some kind of trial which is making your life miserable from the natural standpoint. But remember, it's just for a moment, amen?
Amen.
But we look forward to something far more wonderful, which will last, not a moment, but for all eternity, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And the only way to look at the unseen is through faith, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can only look at the unseen through faith. What a man has seen, but we call it faith. That is, there is hope for it, you know. So eternity and so on. So just, you know, that is spirit, man, and so on. That, you know, is triune, right? Spirit, soul, and body. So just talking about each department and so on. So, and he called it a building of God. A house not made with hands. That same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of course, the earthly house is the earthly tabernacle is your physical house. Spoken of is your physical body. In other words, if the physical body dies and place in the grave, decays, and go back to the dust, that is not the end. But we say that is not the end, amen. Praise the Lord. Only the healing is the end. I will say that that's not the end at all. That's no. We have a building of God. A house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. And the reference here again is to the spirit of man, the inward man, that is eternal. See? And in 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, the Apostle said, by the Holy Spirit, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the confidence is that while we, what who is we? The inward man, amen? Praise the Lord. Paul is saying we, right? You know, the inward man, the spirit man, are at home in the body. See, you are in your deep is your body, right? So you see, in the body, we, the inward man, you know, are absent from the Lord. But when we, the inward man, the spirit man, are absent from the body, then we are present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. See? Now, living in the natural, or physical world as we do, it's difficult to realize that the spirit world is far more real than this natural world. Certain prophets, they even live in different dimensions. Amen, the Bible. Praise the Lord. So this is just, the spiritual world is more far real than the physical world and so on. We think of people as existing only in their physical body. That's what people are thinking. And when they are dead, as no longer existing. However, the scriptures tell us, that the real man is the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, and he is an eternal being. Amen? The difference is, where will that real man spend eternity? That is the difference. Praise the Lord Jesus. That is the question everybody is asking in this world as well. Where will that man, whether they like it or not, you see, the real man, doesn't die. So, but where will this spend eternity and so on? Anyway, so let's keep on going here. So far, I just talked with the spirit of man right there. Now, other time, we can talk more about the destiny of that spirit. Praise the Lord. Today, let's go to the soul now, because we are told that our thing is that man is triune, spirit, soul, and body. The soul is the intellect. It is man's sensibility and will. It is the part of man that reasons and thinks. It deals with the mental realm. Let's look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, talking about the renewing of our mind, the mind here speaks to man's intellect or soul. Praise the Lord. All is doing here and some of that, The scriptural passage here is telling Christians what to do with our bodies and minds. God isn't going to do anything with your body or my body, my body or my mind and so on like that, God contacted us through our spirit, amen? That through our spirit and so on like that, We contact God with our spirit also. And our spirit, the inward man we talked about before, the hidden man of the heart we talked about, became a new man in Christ when we were born again, So it is up to you and I now to do something, to do something about that and so on. We are to present our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be transformed by the renewal of our mind. And one of the greatest needs of Christianity today is that God's people should renew their minds with the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. God should renew your mind with the word of God. Just because a person is a Christian and even filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that he has a renewed mind. The mind becomes renewed only with the word of God. Amen. That's the way we can renew it. God has given us his word and we can feed upon the word of God. It will renew our mind. You know, when people are backsliding, watch what happens. They are not feeding on the word of God, right? That's what is happening. Basically, praise the Lord. That's what is happening. When people are, you know, getting off lying with God, it's because they are not feeding on the word of God. They are not renewing their mind. That's why, you know, all kind of trouble happen to many Christians and others, you know. So, our minds are renewed in two methods, according to the scripture. Number one, feeding on the word of God. Even Apostle Paul said, I mean, Peter said, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word, right? That's to desire it. Praise the Lord. Not only to young Christians, you know, that still they grow thereby. We are also grow, right? We have to come to the measure of the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So we have to grow day by day, you know. We have to know him more and more, right? And the power of his resurrection. So one way to renew our mind, you know, is by the word of God, you know, and there are two ways to it. Feeding on God's word. In our own private study, that's one way to renew our mind by the word of God. Making meditation upon the word of God. Say meditation on these things and so forth. You know, night and day and some of that. You know, even back in the Old Testament, this word of the Lord, now the first out of your mouth. In this shall thou meditate day and night. Amen. Give me the testament, praise the Lord. Amen. Shall thou make your way prosperous. Then shall thou have a good success, amen. To Joshua. Joshua 1:9, 1:8, and 9 and some of that, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, so also Bible says God has set in the church some as teachers, right? Another way to feed on the word of God is by anointed teachers. Praise the Lord. The private reading of the word by yourself, and also God set some in the church as teachers and some like that, you know. So these are the way that you feed upon the word of God, private study, and then of course teaching and some like that, you know. And so that's one way. So we have to renew our mind, and it's also you and I to do that for ourselves. So far for the soul, so renew your mind. So the mind tied to the soul and so on. You have to renew it. Otherwise, you just keep on decaying. And that's what causes backsliding and so on. And people are not having lack of faith. People are not feeding upon the word of God. They are not renew their mind. Let's talk about the body right now. You know, the body. The body. Man being triune. Spirit, soul, and body, and so on. The body. Man's spirit is the inward man, like we have been talking about. That part of him that knows God. You don't know God by your body, no. The body is the outward man, the physical, the house in which we live. Back to Romans 12 again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the thing is this, again separating the spirit, the soul from the body and so on. So who does the presenting of our body? Who is it? Say present your bodies, right? Again separating between the spirit, soul and the body, right? So it is you, the inner man, amen? Praise the Lord. See? So God, that even tell us of the triunity of man, right? You know? So, you know, ye have to do the renew and so on that, you know. And what are you going to present? Your body, the house where you live in, praise the Lord. Your inner man, the spirit man, present your body, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. God is so direct in the way that, he does his thing and so on that, you know. So, we, not God, are the caretaker of this house. This is your body, you are the caretaker, amen? Don't leave it to God now, he won't do nothing about it, you know. You know, you are responsible, I'm responsible for taking care and presenting it, unto God and so on. We ourselves must present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, accessible unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's up to you and I. If we don't do anything about our bodies, nothing will be done with them at all. As Christians, after we are born again, we will still have trouble with the flesh. You know by now, don't you? Praise the Lord. I don't know, you know, so we still have problems with the flesh, even when we are, you know, Christian and so on, born again and so on. While the inward man is new, when we are born again, the body is not new at all. However, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a new body, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, right now, God expects you and I to do something with our bodies. And He told us what to do. Present them a living sacrifice. He expects us to have control over our bodies and not let them dominate us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He does not want us to be carnal Christians or body rule Christians. God doesn't want that. Another thing we are expected to do with our bodies is to keep it under. Amen? Praise the Lord. I mean, bring it into subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Apostle Paul, writing by the divine inspiration and so on. But I keep under my body, see? What you can do with your body, right? Keep it under and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. He said it'd be lost, but just cast aside and all that, you know? So what is he talking about here? We again, who is the we? The inward man, amen? Praise the Lord. The inward man, you know, has to bring the body into subjection. To what? To that, you bring your body to the subjection of that new man in you. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. We don't let our bodies dominate us. No, we shouldn't. We don't let our body rule us. We shouldn't. We are to rule our body. That real man, that spirit man in you that is renewed, you know, has to rule this body for it to be right. Something like that, you know. The inward man is to rule the body. Those Christians who allow their bodies to rule them will remain baby Christians, or call them carnal Christians. What the Bible called them. And that's why Apostle Paul was rebuking the Corinthian church. And something like that, you know. What I'm talking about, 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. See? And in verse 3 it says, for ye are carnal, he said, or for ye are yet carnal. So, and the Christians who are ruled by their body become carnal, they are just carnal, and so on. He said, ye are not, he said, are ye not carnal, he said, and say, and walk as men. So kind of Christian people they walk as mere men. You are a supernatural being, amen, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and walking by the Spirit of God. In one version of the Bible, that word kana is translated body rule, actually body rule. You know, that word kana, as we read in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. It's body rule. So kind of Christians are body rule Christians. They are letting their bodies rule them. And the scripture says to them, ye walk as mere men. In other words, they were doing things and living like people who had never been born again. See, when you let the flesh take over. They were walking as mere men instead of a supernaturally transformed men living victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So that's why we got to, put our bodies under as Christians. And the choice is yours and mine. And, we can let our body continue to dominate us if we want. It's your choice and my choice. The body, if we let it, we want to go on doing the things it has always done. That is tendency, right? But the spirit man, that's the new man, should dominate the body. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Or we can choose to keep our body under control our inward man, that spirit man, can dominate it and operate it. And present it to God as a living sacrifice. And I would rather be like in 1 Corinthians 6:13, worship, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Amen. Be strong. Praise the Lord. Quit you like men and something like that, Apostle Peter, he said, guard the loins of your mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. See? Guard the loins of your mind and something like that, we are in this kind of evil age, we are living and something like that, Again, I want to talk about 1 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Of course, the outward man is the body, like we talked about before. It's growing older, like I said before, and decaying, just as I said before, and like the house we live in. Need upkeeping and so on like that, But 2 Corinthians 5:1, I want to read it again, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So the earthly house of this tabernacle, spoken of here, like I said before, is a physical body. In other words, if the physical body dies and placed in the grave, I said that before, decays and goes back to dust, that's not the end. Having said that, nevertheless, in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery which are not all sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Bible says so, not me. For behold, I show you a mystery which are not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, God says so. And 1 Samuel 4:16 says, for the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And says, as far as the body is concerned, at the coming of the Lord, we shall receive a new body, right? So in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to make it brief this morning. Consequently, there is another series and so on, that but just to really, talk about man as he reminded himself, man as he, let the spirit man in particular, let him rule the body, let the body rule us. Let the inner man, the spirit man, the born again man, rule, the outward man and things like that, And of course, we know that at the coming of the Lord, we are going to receive a new body and so on like that, And we are looking for the coming of the Lord, and we know we shall not all sleep. Bible says here, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, praise the Lord, we shall all be changed. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. To God be the glory. We are because the head of his creation. Thank God for the galaxy. Thank you for the innumerable galaxies and so for that, Only us, he made in his own image, in his own likeness, to fellowship with God. And has made us, you see, we are the temples of the living God. What a blessing this is, Lord, Father. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, greater is he that is in us, than he that is in the world. Thank you for the temples and so forth. In this dispensation, nothing dwells in temples anymore. He dwells in us. We are the temple of the living God. So I will walk in them, And what's that, what he's doing right now? Walking in us, and walking in us. We give you all the praise. Help us not to get in the way of the Holy Ghost walking that which is written in the sight of the Lord in our lives. In the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, doing only the things which are pleasing in your sight through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant it, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says of Enoch and so forth, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to yield day by day and say, Galatians 5:16, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we rest upon your love, upon your promises for everything, Lord. Even pleasing God, resting upon the Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost guide us, Lord. The Bible says the great comforter that is in nothing, Lord. You know, he will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. He will put us in remembrance of the word of the Lord. He won't talk of himself, he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the one dwelling in us, greater than he that is in the world. And by this we are more than conquerors through you that loved us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Say, we have overcome the wicked one already. We just accept it by faith. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making us in your image. Thank you for making us your temple, your dwelling place. Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Man, in a nutshell, is more than what the natural people think about. If we are who, by the grace of God, we are who we are, amen? The very image of God, the temple of the Holy God is working in us. Praise the Lord.